بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب
صلوات الله وسلامه عليه.
الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، It is attributed that Imam Ali alayhi salam said that lack of forgiveness is the ugliest of flaws, and hastening to revenge is the greatest sin. Forgiveness, mercy, and love will always be associated with Prophet Jesus and Imam Ali alayhi salam. At every opportunity that they had in their life, they displayed forgiveness, mercy, and love to all those around them, in some cases even with those who despised them. We unfortunately live in a world at the moment which lacks mercy, a world that lacks love, and in many cases lacks forgiveness. Whether I speak on behalf of myself as a Shi'i Muslim who's a member of the community of the Shia, or I speak generally as a Muslim, or I speak generally as a human being, you'll see that unfortunately the world that we live in every identity that we take, is a very unforgiving world. If I speak on behalf of myself as a Shi'i, then you see within the Shi'a community, at least for the last 30 years, that we have been very unforgiving towards one another. On a night like this, night 23 of the holy month of Ramadan, when a person approaches the night of power, this is the night when a person thinks about those people who they may not have spoken to, thinks of those people they may have backbitten, those people who they may have gossiped about, those people who they may have made judgments about. Unfortunately, within our Shia community in the last 30 years, all we've witnessed in many cases are rival groups, rival camps, rival mosques, rival speakers, rival divisions. Unfortunately, the love and the mercy and the forgiveness that was espoused by prophets like Prophet Isa alayhi salam, or by the likes of Imam Ali alayhi salam, is somewhat missing in our life. We claim to be the Shia of Ali. Yet if you look, for example, within our Shia community, it's very normal for a person at one stage or another to be part of a WhatsApp group that, for example, spreads hate against another Shia. To be part of a WhatsApp group that, for example, spreads a video attacking another member of their Shia community. To be part of a gathering between family or cousins where some hate somebody within the community and some love somebody within the community. To be a member of a community where there is such a lack of mercy that we don't give the benefit of the doubt at all. You see, that's why in many Shi'i communities in the world, when a person sees that the communities are unforgiving and that the communities are ready to always judge and the communities are ready to always condemn, then it makes people not want to come near the mosques anymore. There are many people who stopped going to the mosques in the Muslim world, but were more ready to expect and to identify Christianity with love, mercy, and forgiveness than Islam. Why? Because on the second level of our identity, we see that as Muslims in the world, you hardly see forgiveness, mercy, and love from the Muslim community. Or at least that's the perception. From a non-Muslim perspective, many have seen Muslims involved in wars with one another. Sunni versus Shia. They come forward and they say that they're always in wars with one another. Or you find that even within the Shia there are wars. Within the Sunni groups there are wars. Then you see Muslim majority countries where Muslims of different sects end up fighting against one another. What does a Christian think when they see the Shia of Ali? Or they see the so-called Sunnah and those who claim to follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, fighting one another, attacking one another, killing one another, coming to the wars with one another? Then what is Afghanistan about? What's Syria about? What's Iraq about? What's Pakistan about? By one stage or another, there's been killings between Muslims who all claim to love Prophet Jesus and claim to love Imam Ali alayhi salam. Even on a greater level, you find, therefore, that us as human beings, unfortunately, we may come to the 23rd night of the holy month of Ramadan, and we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us tonight for all the sins that we've committed. But have we forgiven those who we feel have wronged us? Say, for example, I feel that my brother has wronged me, and my brother continuously reaches out to me, and reaches out through people, and these people get involved. How do I expect God to forgive me on the 23rd night of the holy month of Ramadan when I myself have been somebody who has not forgiven my own family members? How many of us who watch this claim to be the lovers of Imam Ali alayhi salam, but do we have the same mercy and the same loving nature and the same forgiving nature of Imam Ali alayhi salam? Christianity, by the way, played the cards very well. Alongside Jesus' name, you always see love. You always see forgiveness. You always see the Father will forgive you. The Lord will forgive you. Christ will forgive you. Because they knew very well that the human being is going to go through peaks and troughs in their life. But that the door of forgiveness for that human was always going to be open. Sadly, in our Muslim communities, the door of forgiveness is very much closed, if not cancelled. Today, we live in a world of what's known as cancel culture. Cancel culture is a world where if you don't like somebody, you get a movement together to literally cancel them, to literally boycott them, to literally attack them. You use social media to make sure that with social media you destroy somebody. All you need of that person is a 30-second clip, a 1-minute clip, and that's it. It'll be on every WhatsApp groups where the people ask, can I see the full version of what that person said, for example, in that parliament or in that meeting or on that television channel? No, not at all. Cancel culture was part of a culture that if it wanted to attack somebody, the ideas of forgiveness, the ideas of mercy, the ideas of love, forget about them. Destroy that person. Spread as much as you can. Boycott, attack, show hate. Was that the Islam that was intended by Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam? As in, was that the Islam that was come to preach by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family? Therefore, on a night like this, night 23 of the holy month of Ramadan, there is a need for us to look at each other in the mirror. Am I someone forgiving? Or is there still somebody out there asking me for forgiveness who I haven't? Am I someone who spreads mercy? Or am I someone who just loves to spread gossip and hate? How many WhatsApp groups receive messages attacking somebody? I defy you to find one or two people on that group who stand up and say, stop sending such messages. This is ghiba, this is buhtan, this is namima. If a WhatsApp group is a group where such messages are spread and groups sit together, mind you, some of these groups are not your lay people under the mimbar. Maulanas have WhatsApp groups where on these WhatsApp groups, they discuss who shall we attack, how should we attack, how should we remove, how should we boycott, how should we hate. If the Maulanas, the priests, the clergy of a religion are the ones who sit on social media as keyboard warriors and disguise themselves to attack, then where's the mercy and the forgiveness and the love gone of the religions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Therefore tonight, let us examine the worldview of Jesus alayhi salam in the Bible and the worldview of Islam through the lessons from the life of the Holy Prophet and Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam when it came to the subject of forgiveness, of love, and of mercy. And I'd like to do this in the following stages. Number one, when Peter came to John in the book of Matthew, asking him that if someone sinned against me, how many times should I be willing to forgive them? How did Jesus give him a number that Peter was surprised by? Number two, how did Jesus then go on to tell the story of the ungrateful servant who was not willing to forgive while he had been forgiven in a more difficult situation? Number three, what does this particular story and parable highlight to us? And how do the books of Matthew, Luke, and John all stress on the idea that don't judge and condemn, keep the door of forgiveness open, and that be ready one day to confess your sins to God, for God will always be ready to forgive and always be ready to purify. Number four, how does Imam Ali alayhi salam show us that the ugliest flaw in the human being is when they are the type of person who doesn't forgive? Number five, how did Imam himself show forgiveness, mercy, and love to even those who were around him? And how does he highlight to us supplications where we should remind ourselves of always asking God for forgiveness? Further than that, on the Battle of Siffin, when they blocked the Furat from him, how did he stand up and regain that Furat? And how did he then act when Muawiyah's army needed water while they were thirsty? And finally, the greatest lesson of forgiveness was learned by his son. How does his son show on the 10th of Muharram that when a commander blocks water, even from your own children, forgive them? And if you're willing to forgive them, then how about those who have done much less than what Hur done to Hussein? Let's examine this and dissect the topic in complete depth. The Bible has some wonderful messages when it comes to our understanding of forgiveness. Because whenever you hear Jesus' name, you always associate forgiveness next to his name. Go anywhere in the world, and you'll always see a Christian preacher who will always remind you that the Lord's door of forgiveness will never close. Where is this shown the most? This is shown the most within Matthew 18. Matthew 18 has this very important discussion between Peter and Jesus. Remember, we mentioned that Jesus had a number of great disciples, and that we as Shia believe, according to our traditions, that one of them says Luke was his greatest disciple. We also revere Simon as one of the great disciples. Peter, of course, was one of the closest to Jesus alayhi salam. And of course, the same Peter and Paul have a major difference with one another as to the direction of Christianity, which we'll come to. Peter asks him, he says to him, if someone has sinned against me, let's say, for example, in the community, someone has backbitten me, someone scammed me, someone stabbed me in the back, someone gossiped about me, I heard that that person's been rude about me, how many times do I forgive this person? Many times we would have asked this question. You may have a sister who you keep forgiving and she keeps doing something that hurts you or your family. You may have a cousin who keeps on causing trouble for your household. How many times do I forgive? Now, one thing that some Christian scholars say is that up until that point, the number that was in the people's heads was three times. Why? Because the enemies of the children of Israel had asked God, had hurt the children of Israel three times, and God three times had been willing to forgive them. On the fourth time, when the enemies hurt, God then punished the enemies. So what was the idea? The idea was that three times, your own friend has hurt you, and he comes to you one day and he says to you, bro, I beg you, forgive me. Okay, bro, don't worry about it, leave it. 6 months later, your friend comes back again. 6 months later, your friend comes back again and says, you know what, please forgive me one more time. The idea was three. Peter comes to Jesus and he says to him, someone sins against me. How many times do I forgive them? Peter says a number, seven. Peter says, is seven appropriate? 7, of course, is Peter showing a sort of benevolence and a sort of mercy, because he's doing more than double of what was expected. And even 7 is a great number. Listen, if someone from your friend or family has hurt you 6 times and you're still willing to forgive, you must have the best heart on this earth. He said 7. Do you know what Jesus replied to him? Jesus replied, no, 77. In the Bible, Matthew, go from 18, 20, 21 onwards. Jesus, what does he say? Peter saying, Baba, 7 times I'm willing to forgive the person who's hurt me. He says, no, 77 Jesus mentioned. Now someone says 77, why so precise 77? It's not about the number 77. It's that you should always find a way of making an excuse or forgiving somebody who is from the same community as you. Yes, I see someone in my community, I heard that they said something wrong, but I will make one excuse for them. Sadly, the Muslim community has reached a stage where there's not even one excuse. Straight away, the moment I receive a clip about someone, straight away spread that clip. Okay, but why not give benefit of the doubt? No, no benefit of the doubt. In some cases, I've been waiting years to attack him. In some cases, I've been waiting months to destroy him. The jealousy and the envy can make a person rot. Jesus teaches Peter a lesson. He says to him, Peter, 77 times. Why 77? It's such a big number, isn't it? 7 is already a big number. Nabi Isa alayhi salam, according to Matthew 18. Matthew 18 shows us what? 77. Even if you got to get to a level where you keep making excuses for the person. Someone says, Baba, why do you always make an excuse for this guy? True. Sometimes you've got a cousin, you always like, listen, bro, wallah, give him benefit of the doubt. You don't know what he's been through in his life. Bro, why do you always make excuses for him? No, I make excuses because the prophets of God wanted us to have that love and that soft-heartedness to make excuses for others. They wanted us to recognize that this is my, not just my blood brother, this is my brother in Iman. Someone who belongs to the same religion as me. If they've made a mistake, or they said something out of turn, or they said something not appropriate, or did they not word something the way it should have been worded, how do I get my knife and stab the person straight away? Jesus never wanted Christianity to be a culture where when someone sins against you, you're already ready to cancel them. This cancel culture, this disgusting culture, where straight away you aim for somebody and you seek to spread rumors and gossip about them, Jesus said 77. Then what did Jesus do? Jesus then moved on and he told a story. And it's a wonderful story. If you look online, type the ungrateful servant. What's the story of the ungrateful servant? It's a wonderful story from the Bible, which all of us should learn from. There was a person who his master, the person owed his master 10,000. Let's say he owed the king 10,000 of today's money, pounds. Okay, he owes the king 10,000 pounds. That king was so generous, he forgave the debt. Because you know, if you go to someone, you've got a big debt, you say, Baba, wallah, I can't afford it. I'm trying everything, but I cannot afford it. He went to the king. The king was owed 10,000 pounds, for example, or whatever you want to call them, talents, whatever the currency of the time, and he forgave that person. That person, someone else owed him 100 pounds. Look at this. Huge point. This person, he's just been forgiven by the king of money that he owes, which is how much? Which is 10,000, correct? You found that what does the king do? The king forgives it. This person, someone else owes him how much? 100 dinari, for example. Let's say that was a day's wages. That's all. You owe someone 10,000. And that person forgives you. What would you do if someone owes you 100 pounds? You've just been forgiven 10 grand. What would you do? You straight away say, you know what, God, you've been too kind. Someone's forgiven me that I've owed them, let's say, 10,000 pounds for the last 15 years. You've been too kind, God. Don't worry. You know what he did? You got to make sure you pay me. Got to make sure you pay me. Wallah, there are humans like this in the world. Don't doubt the human. The human being, know one thing about them. In some cases, some in this world are higher than angels and some are lower than animals. This person has just been forgiven by someone else and is all happy. Someone comes and says, listen, I know I owe you 100. You might say, no, pay me 100. You know that king said? The king got the guy, said, go and get, bring him, put him in jail. I want him tortured. I don't want people like this out. I've just forgiven him on something, and instead of him being willing to forgive the others of the creation, he becomes even harsher. And subhanallah, this is a metaphor for what? How many things God has forgiven us on, and we're not ready to forgive his creation on? How many? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how many of us who sit here have missed fasts in our life, have missed prayers in our life, have been rude to our parents, have committed zina, adultery, have committed fornication, have drank alcohol, have smoked drugs, have done so many haram things, and yet the door of forgiveness of God never closes. Never, never. Then when someone in our family on the 23rd night of Shahar Ramadan sends a message, forgive me, I'm not forgiving them. I'll never forgive them. How many times have you heard people in your own family or your community say, I'll never forgive? Jesus said, no. When someone has forgiven your great debt, then be soft to others when they have a debt on you. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you come and you raise your hands. And that's why in 1 John, from around 9 onwards, you'll see that it's mentioned, confess your sins. The Lord will forgive and purify you. Be ready to confess. On nights like this, don't hide any of the sins that you have. Jesus says, and you see this within John, 1 John, from where? From 1:9 onwards, you'll see it there, and it's very clear that God, confess, open. God is willing to hear you, but willing to forgive you. Because I know there'll be some people on this night, they think of their sins, but they're scared sometimes to actually open up and to shed tears on this night. No, on the contrary, this is a night when a person sees the Almighty's forgiveness on a night like this. How loving God is, how merciful God is, but there's a condition that the Bible set. What was the condition? The condition could be seen where? The condition could be seen in places like, for example, if you go to Luke, when you go to the book of Luke, go to Luke 6, you'll see it mentioned clearly. That are you the type of person who's willing to forgive the creation of Allah? Are you willing to forgive the creation for God to forgive you? Are you the type who's just going to judge and condemn? There are some who come on the 23rd night of Ramadan. They are asking God for forgiveness. The moment the A'mal finishes in the mosque, they go around judging and condemning everybody else. What's the point of you sitting doing these A'mal in the mosque when these A'mal have not transformed you? At the end of the day, if you're someone on 23rd night of Ramadan, Ya Allah, I ask in Joshua Kabir, I mention all your names, Ya Allah, sorry, Al-Aaf. How many times do people say sorry on a night like this? As soon as those A'mal finish, 2 days later, there's a meeting, for example, in the mosque, you'll see them begin to judge and condemn others straight away. What's that done? In the Bible, what did the Bible say? Don't judge someone and condemn them. In the way you want God to forgive you, are you ready to forgive the creation of God? Tonight, I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me. But the Bible says, are you willing to forgive His creation? Those creations of God who've wronged you, are you willing to forgive them? No, I'm not. I'll forgive most, but there's one I'm never going to forgive. Why? Because that person really hurt me. And believe you me, listen, let me be frank. There are some people in our lives, people have secrets in their lives. Let's be frank. I've seen human beings in my position who have secrets that they hold that none of you will know. Only I may know in my position of that community member because he came to me. And when they come to you and they tell you of some of their secrets, I can understand that there are some people you can never forgive for what they've done. That one you leave to God. Especially there are some who have taken and violated the physical rights of a human being. Yani there are in our community people who, as much as I say, forgive, how do you forgive someone who sexually abused you in your community? How do you forgive that person? That was someone who's fondled you or touched you in the community. How do you forgive? Someone who taught you Quran and someone who taught you the Bible. How many Christians there are out there who have forgiven priests who have abused them? How difficult that is. Priests in the church who have abused Christian children, innocent children. That's why I say whenever you see someone homeless in the Western world, don't judge straight away, because you don't know what could have happened to that child in there, that person in their childhood. Alcohol has no limits to what it does. Power has no limits to what it does. Unfortunately, There are many out there who, when they listen to such a lecture, they say, do you expect me to forgive a priest? When that priest, I was only a child, and that priest abused me. That priest took and violated my rights, and I was only a 5-year-old. I was a 6-year-old. I was a 4-year-old. I was an 8-year-old. No, it's not easy. I must admit. Even in the Islamic world, you hear of people, Quran teachers, who ended up taking the young kids that they were teaching, abusing them. I now say forgiveness. Is it that easy? No, it's not. It's not. No way. It's extremely difficult for a person to forgive people who have done this. But what happens if that person comes up to me one day and cries to me? Or that person comes up to me one day and begs me for forgiveness? It's a big, difficult decision. Because there's a difference between someone out there who's not come up to you. Okay, leave them. Leave them for God to judge. But what if someone writes to you? What if someone emails you? What if someone messages you and says, please forgive me, it's 23rd night of Ramadan, for example. Or it's Easter, or it's Christmas Day, and I was wrong in what I done. That's a huge moment for you. Because in that moment, that person's pleading to you. That, listen, I'm a human. I overstep the boundaries. God, does he forgive all sins or not? God forgives every single sin as long as you are looking to repent. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And that's where Imam Ali alayhi salam learned forgiveness and mercy and love through two ways. Through the actions of his prophet and through the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran, because someone might come to me tonight and say, every sin I've committed will be forgiven on Laylatul Qadr. Yeah, every sin. He goes, any sin. So there's no limit, no limit. There are a few days in the year where there is no limit to the sin that you've committed. Allah is willing to forgive. Someone might turn around and say, okay, but I've been someone who's addicted to pornography. I want to stop. You get forgiven tonight, clean slate. I am someone who, for example, was involved in the drug culture. I was someone involved, for example, in stealing. I was someone involved in fornication and adultery. I'm someone who's even hit their mom or their dad. Tonight is the night you open your arms, you cup your hands, and you say, Al-Afu, Al-Afu, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh. Someone says, you're saying anything? Yes. As long as it's a sincere tawbah, meaning that you regret what you've done, which is clear, and that number two, you'll never do it again, then that door of forgiveness open. Why? Imam Ali alayhi salam, firstly, where did he see this? In the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. What does the Quran say? Oh my servants, look how merciful Allah is when he talks to us. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ. If you're calling me عِبَاد, then do I deserve to be called a servant? قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say to my servants who've been extravagant against their souls, yes, against themselves. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Never be despondent of the mercy of Allah. How can I as a human close the doors of mercy on another human when my Lord has never closed his doors of mercy on me? لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Allah forgives every single sin altogether. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Number one of his names is, he is Ghafoor. He is the all-forgiving. So how dare I look at his creation and I'm not willing to forgive them when my Lord is the all-forgiving. Therefore in the Quran, Imam Ali sees the Quran. The Quran is saying, tell my servants that whatever sin they've committed, know that my mercy extends. And that my mercy will envelope everything. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati. Then you see in his supplications. Oh Allah, I ask you where? In the name of your mercy that encompasses everything. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen recognizes that that mercy of God is a mercy that he wants to encompass. That forgiveness is something that he wants to encompass as well. Secondly, he sees in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi the very meaning of forgiveness, mercy, and love. Honestly, I ask you a question. That person who ripped up the chest of Hamza, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, by the name of Wahshi, someone has literally decapitated your uncle's body. Would you show any door of mercy towards them? Any. And so we're not saying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi forgave him. But would you show any doors of mercy? Any? The Prophet told him, you know what? Leave. Leave. Another ruler could have easily turned around and said, hey, you, come here. And he could have stabbed him there and then. True? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, when Wahshi came to him on the opening of Mecca in that period, the Holy Prophet was in such a powerful position. All he needed to do was flick his fingers. That's it. One flick of a finger. Leaders who have soldiers like that, which mercy do they show? Which mercy? What would a normal leader do? And that's why this man's not a normal leader. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ We did not send you, but that you were what? But as a mercy to the world. Imam Ali alayhi salam's greatest teacher was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why I always say that don't, when people praise Imam Ali alayhi salam, when Christians praise him and say, you know, Imam Ali is amazing, don't just praise him, praise his teacher. It's all very good, you saying Imam Ali is good, and then there's no mention of the Prophet. No, the teacher of Imam Ali alayhi salam was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Ali saw Rasulullah merciful. Hind and Abu Sufyan, any other leader would have ordered for them to be beheaded in Mecca. Any other leader. They expected to be beheaded. They, Hind and Abu Sufyan, they expected to be beheaded. Because they thought the amount of wars we've caused against him, the amount of trouble we've caused the man, there's no way he'll have anything in his heart to allow us to live, to allow us to survive. And he says exactly what Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers. Yes? Go, you take whatever you need to, move away from me. Here, the Holy Prophet highlighted that, look at me, I could have easily gone around and killed everybody. I could have easily gone around and attacked everybody. No, on the contrary. You know what? You people have been rude to us. Go and try and find God's path. Go and find love. Go and find mercy. Go and find the door of forgiveness with the Lord. His door never closes. Night of Qadr, open. Day of Arafah, open. 15th of Sha'ban, open. Yawm al-Jum'ah, open. And people tell me God wants to send you to hell. A God who keeps opening you these doors, which hell does he want to send you? He wants to keep opening for you the doors of Jannah. So you found Rasulullah was that embodiment of mercy, of love and forgiveness. And that's why you see it with Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam, from now until the day of judgment, if you recount his stories of love, his stories of mercy, his stories of forgiveness, wallah, it'll never be enough. Every aspect of that man's life was a display of mercy and a display of forgiveness. You could curse him. If there was something that was your haq, he'd give it to you. You could turn around and be an enemy who's raised an army against him. You'll still see he'll find a door of mercy for you. I tell you, you think it's easy? Aisha raising an army against him. Abdullah ibn Zubair, Marwan ibn al-Hakam, all of these rallying their troops to kill him in the Battle of Jamal. I ask you, did he lay a finger on her? Did he lay a finger on Abdullah ibn Zubair, on Marwan ibn al-Hakam? At the end of the Battle of Jamal, Abdullah ibn Zubair was caught. Marwan ibn al-Hakam was caught. Aisha was caught. Any other ruler could have turned around. And at that moment, something could have overcome him. Yes? What could have overcome him? Listen to the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali says that the ugliest flaw in the human being is them being unforgiving. The ugliest flaw in the human being is them being unforgiving. And to hasten to revenge is the greatest sin. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen did not forgive any of these. He never forgave Aisha, never forgave Abdullah ibn Zubair, never forgave Marwan ibn al-Hakam, but he certainly didn't hasten to revenge. No. He said that, you know what? We may not forgive you for what you've done. You've now caused, as the mother of the believers you are titled, which mother likes to see her kids all killed in front of her? Thousands of kids all killed in front of you. But you know what I'll do? I'll return you to Medina. One of them called out, you are the killer of the loved ones of Islam. He said, if I was the killer, I could have killed Marwan ibn al-Hakam. I could have killed Abdullah ibn Zubair. Easily, he could have ordered a soldier, go and kill. Not at all. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam at that moment displayed a mercy that his Shia lack today. His Shia, people who haven't raised swords against them in battle, they'll attack. They'll condemn. They'll spread messages about. They'll spread clips about. They'll do la'nat on. They'll curse with each other. That's Shia Ali. إمام علي، عبد الله بن الزبير، مروان بن الحكم، طلحة، عائشة have raised armies against him. He says, send them back to Medina with respect. Send them back. Don't anyone harass them. Let them go home. They'll go back to their houses. And someone's telling him, Mola, you see what these guys just did? These guys have just raised armies looking to kill you. He said, let them go. Let them go. Why do you think we say he is the successor of the Prophet and the Wasi? Why do we say that? Because there is no rahma lil alameen after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Amir al-Mu'mineen. What did Rasulullah do with Hind and Abu Sufyan and Wahshi? Imam Ali alayhi salam done with Aisha, with Abdullah ibn Zubair, with Marwan ibn al-Hakam. Easily, Imam Ali alayhi salam, easily, if he wasn't Ali ibn Abi Talib, he could have said, go and kill them, true? But what did he do? He said, let them go back. Ash-Shia, are we the same? We need to look at ourselves in the mirror, all of us, my dear brothers and sisters. We're losing our youth. Because every time our youth are getting closer to the religion, they suddenly get another WhatsApp message. This mosque hates this mosque. This marja'iyat hates this mosque. This group hates that group. This person hates this person. This one's condemning this one. This one's judging this one. Jesus alayhi salam said, don't judge and condemn. Keep the door of forgiveness open. Imam Ali alayhi salam looks at those who've raised an army. But arguably, one of his greatest moments of a display of mercy was related to water. Subhanallah. Related to water. Why? Water is a basic necessity every human deserves. You should never see a human being thirsty. In the lead up to Safin, Muawiyah's army and Imam Ali's army are all going towards where? Towards Safin. Muawiyah's army has their rulers or their commanders, like for example, Abu al-A'war al-Sulami and Amr ibn al-As. Imam Ali alayhi salam, his commanders, Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, Malik al-Ashtar and others, yes. They're now converging. Muawiyah's army has control of the Furat. The Furat, the Euphrates. This is when? This is 20 odd years before Karbala. A battle by the Furat, 20 odd years before Karbala. Muawiyah's army, what do they have control of? They have control of the Euphrates. Imam Ali's army are now coming. They realize that the Furat is being controlled by Muawiyah's army. What do we do? What should we do at this moment? Imam Ali came to the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who was on his side, by the name of Sa'sa'a bin Sawhan, companion of the Prophet. Imam Ali told Sa'sa'a, write a letter to Muawiyah, making it clear that we don't want to start a war over here. We don't want to be the ones who bring this lack of mercy and love between the Muslims, and that his people are in control of the Furat. And what's the aim of controlling the Furat? What was the aim? So that the other side has no access to water. When Muawiyah's army insisted that Imam Ali's army will have no access to drinking water and were to be thirsty, Imam Ali alayhi salam saw their letters back, saw their arrogance, he turned around to his soldiers. You guys want to be humiliated? You've got a number of options. Either humiliation or you stand up and go and reclaim that water. Reclaim the water. Get it back. Don't cause civilians to be killed and so on and so forth. They went. They reclaimed the water. When they reclaimed the water, Muawiyah asked Amr ibn al-As a question. Subhanallah, sometimes your enemies know you better than anyone. Muawiyah said to Amr ibn al-As, Ali has the water now. When we had it, we would not give access to his soldiers. Do you think he'd do the same? Amr al-As said, no, he won't. He won't. Amr ibn al-As. How much hate he has for Ali ibn Abi Talib, but how much he knows Ali ibn Abi Talib. He says, Ali ibn Abi Talib, he'll give you access. Look at the magnanimity of the man. Wallah. The magnanimity of the man. They've blocked water from him. And he's the one who turns around when he's got the water. He turns around, some of his soldiers are thinking that we're not going to let them have water. He said, no, let them drink from the water. Every human being deserves to have some water. You can't leave a human being thirsty with no one giving them access to water. Look at that mercy. That mercy. Muawiyah and Amr ibn al-As, how much they plotted against him. He still found a door. In our communities, people have done much less. We have no door of forgiveness and mercy for them. Much less. Tell me, are you the ones, when you come and talk about these people, are they the ones who have raised people to kill the family of the Prophet? For goodness sake, Muawiyah's mother, she was this. Her father was this. His son ends up being this. And yet Imam Ali still says, give them access to the water. Why? Because he wanted to highlight that this religion's foundation principles were mercy, love, and forgiveness. And the moment these principles leave a community, the community slowly is dying. And that's why one day at Safin, you find him gaining access to the water and giving it to the opposition. 20 odd years later in Karbala, the same situation occurs. That same situation occurs where? The water, at the beginning, when Imam al-Hussein got to Karbala, he got there at least a week before Ashura. Could he get to the water? Yes. A week before Ashura, when Imam al-Hussein got to Karbala, he could get to the water. They had access to the water. Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, for goodness sake, was praying behind Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Hur was praying behind Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. That when Imam says, you lead, he says, how can I lead? You're the son of Fatima al-Zahra. You lead. At the beginning, Hur was there. He was a commander of Umar bin Sa'd's army. And Imam al-Hussein was on the other side. Could Imam al-Hussein, second Muharram, third Muharram, for example, could he get to the water? Yes, he could. No problem. Until the command came, Hur, block the water from Hussein and his children. Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi comes to Abu Abdullah. He says, you're not going to Kufa, number one. Because Imam al-Hussein, where's he heading? Towards Kufa. And number two, nor are you gaining any access to the Furat. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam replies with a line to Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi. A line, if I translate it softly, may your mother have never given birth to you. Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi looked at Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and he said to him, if your mother was any other lady, I would have replied back to you. But how do I reply to the son of Fatima al-Zahra? Hur, any other person would have said to him those lines, may your mom have never given birth to you, he would have insulted him. But how do I insult you? But the water will be blocked from your children. Imagine I ask you all, my dear brothers and sisters, on this night of Qadr, has anyone in your life blocked water from your kids? Someone may have sent a wedding card late. Someone may owe you some money. Someone may not have given you a gift you expected. Someone in your own family may have hurt. No problem. But blocking water from your kids, not letting them have access, would you forgive such a person? Wallah, nobody would forgive. Nobody. Nobody on this earth would forgive somebody who's blocked their kids from drinking water, a basic necessity. Yet you see on the 10th of Muharram what Imam al-Hussein did. And remember these words, my brothers and sisters. Number one, why do we say, As-salamu alayka ya waritha Adam? As-salamu alayka ya waritha Nuh? Nabiullah. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Ibrahim? Khalilullah. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Musa? As-salamu alayka ya waritha Isa, Ruhillah. Salams on you, O inheritor of Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus. The forgiveness and mercy of Jesus was embodied in Hussein at Karbala. Why do I recite Ziyarat Warith? Because Aba Abdullah, every attribute of those prophets were encompassed in one man. Peace be upon you, O inheritor of Jesus. That Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi, who's blocked water, done a crime a billion times worse than some of the things our Shia cannot forgive each other for. A billion times worse. Know the second thing. There is no forgiveness like Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. I know some people say, I want to forgive like you. Whatever you forgive can never be as great as Imam Hussein. Because Imam al-Hussein's children were shouting, Al-Atash. Al-Atash. They were screaming, we're thirsty, we're thirsty. You may forgive your friend tonight, but you've never had your kids screaming thirst because of something in your life. Nobody has ever done that for you to question forgiveness. And number three, know one thing. There is no Lord as forgiving as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That someone who's blocked water from the very family chosen by God, he is ready to forgive that person. And number four, there is no door of Tawbah that ever closes. If Hur could be forgiven, then how dare you think you cannot be? Hur, who blocked water from the grandchildren of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. I may have stolen, I may have committed adultery, I may have drank alcohol, I may have smoked drugs, I may have lied, I may have, at least I can stand up on the 23rd night of Ramadan and say, I never forced the grandchildren of Zahra to shout, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. That's a crime, Ya Allah, I've never done. Nor have I ever blocked water from the lips of Aba Abdullah. Nor am I the one responsible for the dry lips of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Nor am I the one who could be part of the responsibility of Zainab and her sisters being taken as prisoners from one land to another. Hur knew all of these were on his chest on the morning of the 10th of Muharram. How forgiving is Allah? How forgiving is Allah? How generous and merciful and loving is Imam al-Hussein? You can only get that from a house of Ali and Fatima. Imam al-Hussein looks at somebody who has done all of these and knows that person will be responsible for everything. And he sees Hur walk towards him. Yes. When he sees Hur coming towards him, Hur, of course, knew that I've got one chance. This is the chance. It's the morning of the 10th of Muharram. Let me just go towards him. He is the wasila to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight, when you ask Allah for forgiveness, mention in the name of Ghareeb Karbala, in the name of the Atshan, in the name of the Shaheed of all Shuhada, ask in the name of the loneliness of Aba Abdullah, ask in the name of the Atash of Aba Abdullah. Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi walked towards the army of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. When he walked towards the army, something had broken his heart. What was it? He heard the cries of the children of Aba Abdullah calling out, Al-Atash, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. He began to introspectively reflect on himself, like we hope to introspectively reflect on ourselves on the night of the 23rd of the holy month of Ramadan. He began to ask himself, how can I see Aba Abdullah thirsty in this way? How can I see Sukain on the ground? How can I see Zainab alayhi salam lonely in the tents? He came towards Aba Abdullah and he sat by Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. One narration says, no, he remained on his horse, and he came towards Aba Abdullah and he said, forgive me for what I have caused to happen. Forgive me for what's about to happen. Forgive me, for I hear the cries of the children calling Al-Atash, Al-Atash. And I feel the responsibility of what's about to happen. Normally, if someone came, even if he pleaded with you for forgiveness, you'd find it hard to forgive. Especially someone who's blocked water from your family, someone who's blocked access for your family, someone who's caused your family to be lonely. But only the hearts of Al-Muhammad and the generosity of the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib would turn around and say, Hur, oh Hur, don't worry, Allah will forgive you. This brought tears to Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi. Hur was distraught at this moment. He turned round towards Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. He said to him, Aba Abdullah, I'm the reason that you're in this situation. So allow me to be the first to go out to defend you on that battlefield. He came out towards towards the battlefield. A few moments earlier he was going to hell. Now he's about to enter to Jannah. He called out, "Inni ana al-har wa ma'wa al-dhayf. Adhribukum fi a'naqikum bis-sayf. An khayr man halla bilad al-khayf. Adhribukum wa la ara min khayf." When Allah has accepted your tawbah, then you don't fear death anymore, even though death is in front of you. A few moments later, while he was on the ground, he called out, "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah." Imam al-Hussein, he ran out towards the battlefield. He came by his body. His eyes looked towards the eyes of Hur. He looked towards him. Hur smiled just before he left. Imam al-Hussein said the following lines, "Hur, you are like your mother named you, free in this world and free in the hereafter. لنعم الحر حر بني رياح صبور عند مشتبك الرماح لنعم الحر إذ فاد حسينا وجاد بنفسه عند الصباح." I ask you, brothers and sisters, when Hur fell on the ground, who is it that took him back? Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. When Muslim fell on the ground, who is him that took him back? Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. When Habib fell on the ground, who is it that took him back? Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. When Qasim fell on the ground, who is it that took him back? Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. When Akbar fell, who is it that took him back? Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. When the 6-month-old baby's neck was pierced, who is it that took the baby back? Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. I ask each of you one thing. When Aba Abdullah fell, who took his body back to the tents? The horses of Bani Umayyah, they're the ones that kicked his body back towards the tents. إِنَّا لِلَّهُ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. My dear brothers and sisters, night 23 of the holy month of Ramadan, I ask each and every one of you at home for forgiveness for any shortcomings or anything that we have said or anything that has been said, whichever time, whether it is tonight or in the past nights. Inshallah, we still have majalis until the end of the holy month, but on this night I ask all of you for forgiveness. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us with Muhammad and Al Muhammad. Raise us with the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asri wa al-Zaman. Allow us to be amongst his companions in this world and to be of those who receive the intercession of his grandfathers in the hereafter. Ya Allah, bring mercy, love and forgiveness on this night between the Ummah of Muhammad and Al-Muhammad. Ya Allah, remove the hate that exists. Ya Allah, remove the contempt and the judgments that exist between the members of the community. Ya Allah, bring love between us, inshaAllah. In the name of the Imam of our time, let's all recite the ayah of the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amma yujibu al-muftarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu al-su' amma yujibu al-muftarra idha da'ah ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. We welcome our respected and dear brother Mulla Rashid with the loudest of your salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وداعا يا حبيبي يا علي 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 وداعا يا حبيبي يا I am Zainab, oh my father, can you hear me speaking? I am Zainab, oh my father, can you hear me speaking? I know you are near Zahra. What a blessed meeting. What a blessed meeting. What a blessed meeting. Your departure causes us pain, but a smile on her face. Your departure causes us pain, but a smile on her face. What will I do without you and the presence of your grace? What will I do without you and the presence of your grace? Oh Father, after you my veil is ripped. Wada'an, ya Habibi, ya Hussein, wada'an. يا حبيبي يا علي وداعا يا علي. Father, from now I can hear the land of Taf call my name. Father, from now I can hear the land of Taf call my name. Without you, oh my dear Father, life will never be the same. Life will never be the same. Father, why can't I see Hussein under horses who's crushed? Father, why can't I see Hussein under horses who's crushed? Town to town they will parade us, and in chains we'll be rushed. And in chains we'll be rushed. And in chains we'll be rushed. After you, we will be their prisoners. Wada'an, ya Habibi, ya Ali, wada'an. Ya Ali, wada'an. Ya Habibi, ya Ali, wada'an. Ya Habibi, wada'an. Ya Habibi, ya Ali. Father, that same Abu al-Fadhil who was my protector. Father, that same Abu al-Fadhil who was my protector. He lays now by the Euphrates with his two arms severed, with his two arms severed. All I remember, Father, is the day you left this world. All I remember, Father, is the day you left this world. You told Abbas that he should listen to my every word. Listen to my every word. Listen to my every word. Why does he not respond now when I call? Wada'an, ya Habibi, ya Ali. Wada'an, ya Habibi, ya Ali. Wada'an, ya Habibi, ya Ali. Wada'an, ya Ali, wada'an, ya Habibi, ya Ana Zainab, ya Abu Zainab, أغلى من كل ناسك. Ana Zainab, ya Abu Zainab, أغلى من كل ناسك. أشعر بغربة يا حيدر، ما حضن إحساسك. ما حضن إحساسك، ما حضن إحساسك. الليلة ريحة موت شمن من عطر أنفاسك. الليلة ريحة موت شمن من عطر أنفاسك. من عسنها براسي طاحت بويا طبرة راسك. بويا طبرة راسك يا بويا، صوت يمك يعتلي. وداعان يا حبيبي يا علي. 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 وداعان يا حبيبي يا علي، صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.